Welcome to Freedom of Mind.
Yeah. Freedom.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess you should know my voice right now. I guess you should know Giovanni Vre. Is it Vre?
Yeah.
Vre, Giovanni Vre. All right, Giovanni Vre. All right.
No, hey. LeBron James.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
I don't know. I felt like saying it.
LeBron James. What?
I said no LeBron James.
Okay.
I don't know.
That's just it.
That came out random. I don't know.
That was hella random.
That was hate. That was inner hate.
Oh man. Okay. Got a little problem with LeBron James. Okay. So, hey y'all. Hey, I've been broke most of my life. You know.
There can't be a time I remember ever being.
I guess I had a decent upbringing. You know. Money wise, but that
Kanye West said it best. Toys R Us is where you spend that Christmas cash. No, my two best friends was Clarence and Miss Layaway.
Okay.
Clarence was everything was on half off. You know what I'm saying? Layaway is you pay that shit whenever you want to.
Okay, that's a good one.
Kmart. Kmart was legit back then. For all the younger listeners. Stop listening, because y'all don't know nothing about Kmart. Y'all don't know the struggle.
No, they don't. And they wouldn't want to admit.
All y'all know is Amazon price deals. That's about it.
That part, yeah.
Kmart was a struggle in itself.
Hey.
You had Kmart jeans growing up, that was it.
If you ever paid your clothes with food stamps. Okay, yeah. See, all right. See, I didn't.
Wick got us certain things, right? It got us the
that's
government
the convert
cheese.
Game I'm talking about.
Got us the government cheese, the big block. Got us some sandwiches for the week.
Yeah.
We had things called hand-me-downs. So, you know, if there was anything from my cousin, he may be a 5XXX XL. Yeah. It's cool. It just be baggy on them.
You gotta learn
to walk.
This is just the intro, man. All right, you got an idea what we're talking about, man. Money problems coming up.
What's up, y'all? Y'all now tuned in to Freedom of Mind, a little segment I like to call Speak Your Mind with Giovanni Vre. Listen, man. I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Daystar has dropped his album, a.k.a. Tory Lanez, a.k.a. the album name is Daystar. Basically, his story explaining his side of what happened between him and Meg Thee Stallion. I didn't speak about this last podcast. Like I said, I didn't know too much about it. And I don't pay much mind to anything, especially if it goes on within the industry. But I found it really cool that we have a talented brother that has always been talented. Shout out to Tory, man, that really could express himself through expressive writing, through penmanship, that really take the game of artistry that we take in hip hop and rap and really take it to, you know, meaning. You know what I'm saying? Like, very quiet about it. Open case. And out of nowhere, 3 months after the incident, whatever, he just drops an album telling his side. And I think that's very perfect and what we need nowadays. We need those artists that can paint a picture that they've painted. We need an artist nowadays that can really tell their side without having to be so flamed up over the media, have to be talking over live all the time. Like, a lot of artists nowadays really need to stop getting clicks for fame in the mix of this game, in the mix of you think that views is what drives you or what fuels you or what you need to succeed in the game. And I don't think that that's true. You think that what you need is a story or you need to tell your side right then and there. I think patience is the key to all of this. I think patience has a lot to do with it. Tory was patient enough, waited, dropped his whole album, and really explained his side. And I think it went beautifully. I think the way he dropped it, he didn't let nobody know he dropped it until the day it dropped, or when he was dropping it, I should say. Basically, his side of the story is he didn't do it. Like I said, it's an open case. There's more to come. I always stand on there's always two sides of the story. There's always two sides of the coin. I really don't know too much about as far as if she's telling the truth, if he's telling the truth. It seems like he was very honest in some of the tracks on there, singing, pouring his heart out, saying he still loves this girl to the end of the day. So, in my opinion, do I know some hard shit went down, and I don't condone no violence to any woman. So, do I know some harsh shit went down? Yes, but do I know that it went down exactly like hearsay says? No. Now you can kind of get both sides of the story and really paint a picture of as to what really happened. And I just think that that was pretty cool to listen to. I'm a hip hop fan. I'm a hip hop artist. So just to listen to that and really listen to artists really take shit seriously. I mean, that mad props to him. My hat goes off to him. And I hope this situation gets worked out. But it doesn't seem like they'll get back together or nothing like that. But I just hope that we as artists, we as human beings out there understand what domestic abuse is, domestic violence, whatever that case may be, whether it was him that did it, whether it was her that her team of conspirators, whatever the case may be. Look, we need to just silence all that bullshit and just focus on what really means in life, which means getting the means to live, generational wealth for our families, and just fuck all the drama. Much love to the both of them. Like I said, the whole story will come out later on. It gets tricky, right, when conspiracies come around, when artists become independent after so long of a label contract, owning their masters. There's a lot of spooky shit going on in the industry. That's why I stress enough for all the indie artists out there to just really be cautious and keep a faith. Keep a faith and always keep to yourself and know just what you're doing in your own lane is great enough. And you'll definitely go far for that.
Hey, y'all. This is Ray Will. I got to speak my motherfucking mind about... Yeah, guess who? Trump. Okay, this motherfucker right here, I guess his taxes just got, put out there. And, this is leaked material. And, you know, there's no telling if it's official, but a person with common sense, I think that it is, right? And we got here where it says that... He paid his taxes only 5 times out of, I believe, 15 years. He only paid like over $700 in 2 years for tax returns. And then he's disputing a tax return that he received, you know, with the IRS, a tax return that he received over $70 million he got in 1 year. Right. And this is the guy who don't do his taxes really. And then when he did do his taxes, he only gave him $750. Like, that's a motherfucking crook. And then what's irritating me, obviously the reception. Admittedly, you know, a lot of black people are irritating me, you know, because, you know, Trump is clearly a racist. He doesn't give a shit about black people. He talks bad about black people. He has in multiple times. You see, when he needs something from us, you know, he want to pretend like he's for us. And he's a compulsive liar, you know. So, you know, he can believe his lies. So he going around lying, talking about, oh, I do for black people more than any other president and all that, which is retarded. You don't even know much about black people. You look down on black people. You think black people are beneath you. So you're going to sit up there and say that, and you really believe that black people are beneath you. The true definition of racism, by the way. And then you're going to turn around and try to sweet talk your way, do some shit. And then as black people, we fall for that shit. So it's like, are we going through some kind of motherfucking, like, you know, Stockholm syndrome or something? You know, like, where we like praise the people who oppress us. We praise it. It's really sick. You know, if you really think about it, you know, I'm not saying all our people are like this, but a lot of us are. It's really sickening how we sit up here and we take up for this man. You know, I can understand the fellow white people, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of white people, like I said, there's a lot of white people out there that's racist as hell. And I'm not surprised by that. You know what I'm saying? I don't recommend it, but I'm not surprised. And, you know, you kind of expect those type of receptions, you know what I'm saying? Where people are taking up for him and all that. And then I'm gonna get on this Cruz fellow. I guess he's the governor of Texas or whatever, whoever the hell he is, some kind of politician. And, you know, he going around. I guess he had an interview on The View, and he going around, you know, just downplaying it, talking about, oh, this does not affect American lives and all this. Are you serious? It doesn't affect American lives? Bro, he's taking money from people. This guy taking millions and millions of dollars from people, and you don't think that's affecting American lives? Bro, you tripping. This guy is the damn president. He's a goddamn president, and he's taking money from the people. And then you got people going around asking. You got people going around asking, hey, loopholes, you know what I'm saying? Like, how is he doing it? I want to do it. He's encouraging that kind of act. And then the fact that he's taking money from American people, that's unacceptable. That's all I got to say right now, y'all. Got their money problems.
All you broke, I mean, everybody who's listening right now, I know you hurting in your pockets. I know you reaching down right now and you feel it.
Man.
You feel the lint, because that's all there is.
Literally, right?
And sometimes that rolled up paper, when you forget to take it out to wash and you wash it with it, so you have that receipt that's all bleached and shit. You ever had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah.
You put your jeans in the wash, you had a receipt in your jeans.
That receipt is gone.
That is donezo. The ink is ripped. The ink is rubbed off, all that shit. But basically, that's how your pocket's feeling. It's feeling rubbed off. It's got no air down there. It's tight.
Okay, and kind of speaking on that, man, like, you kind of brushed kind of with that, like, you know, with this
kind of how it feels
going on with the economy right now. A lot of people on unemployment right now, and
unemployment and living off
that pandemic.
Well, basically living off the stimulus, right?
Right.
So, well, hoping to get another stimulus, because that's how you probably basing your income.
That extended unemployment was based off that last stimulus package,
and so, that one too. Yeah, unemployment.
Yeah, and people open for it again, and it seemed like the motherfuckers in DC don't give a damn. They don't give a fuck, you know. So. But
it
you know what?
More looting.
But you know what? More of them need to be. Yeah, it can get haywire. You know,
it's going to get haywire.
Whether people believe that this pandemic was designed or not, or a hoax, you know, whatever you want to believe it or not, I mean, it's here.
There's going to be, not just because of the COVID, but there's going to be a big economic downfall with a lot of different aspects. I mean, we can go as far as with the protesting going on between the police, especially RIP to the beautiful sister Breonna Taylor in Kentucky, Louisville, right?
Louisville. RIP, yeah, Louisville.
People got George Floyd, Orlando Castillo, right?
Philando Castillo.
People got to understand, with all these protests and stuff, the Republicans, the rich, the 1%ers in the world, and the U.S., I should say, are going to stop funding for those police and those areas. There's going to be a lot of less funding. There's going to be a lot of less cops on the streets. There's going to be a lot more guns on the streets. There's going to be a lot of things that are going to change, and not just of the economic standpoint, but the typical scenery around as we see now. To the audience that's listening, so just be prepared for the future. Do I think that there's ever going to be a time where that water just springs up? There's going to be a spring just somewhere in the middle of the desert or something, right? And we've been through the drought so long that the Nile dried up, and there's going to be a time when we're going to have our highs, and there's going to be a time when we're going to have our lows. right now we're in a very, very fragile low. Like I said, a lot of less budgeting to certain things, a lot of less unemployment now. I heard they're taking away some of that. You know, we're on a downshift, and I know it gets very hard, especially the people growing up, already been growing up in poverty, still used to the struggle, and now having to, there's food rations, there's all this other stuff. People just got to learn how to adapt, especially in this time. I think most people would understand that this corona wasn't just a flu. It wasn't just a major symptom. It was a learning curve.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, and then, you know, the government show didn't know how to deal with it. You know, we know the president didn't know how to deal with it. Hell, he downplayed it. He acted like it wasn't a big damn deal. Like, oh, well, you know, it'll die down, you know. He treated it as if like it was like the flu, you know, how he basically initially treated, like he totally downplayed it. And he damn sure didn't want to do what the last brother did with following his instructions and following the booklet that he prepared, you know, to prepare for possible pandemic. And, you know, he ignored that because, you know, he's a complete hater. So, you know, it's not going away. It's still here. It can get worse. It really can. You know, as scary as that sounds, but people are not taking it seriously. You know, like a lot of people believe that it's a hoax, or I guess people think that they're invincible or something. I don't know, but you know, it ain't going nowhere.
Oh, well, what about the house markets? How they doing?
Well, I think that should be going up because ain't nobody really got no money, but. I don't know. That's a really good question.
A lot of houses.
I think people think that it might go up after the pandemic, and it's probably a little vulnerable time right now. They're probably down right now. You're probably gonna get a lot of deals.
It's a high right low. Now. It's a high
yeah,
low.
It's kind of like a high low kind of thing. Yeah,
what happens is during this downfall, a lot of people are selling because they can't afford their mortgage and things like that. A person that buys a home, buys land, can break off easily, especially during these times, because it's for cheap. Because
yeah.
They selling, because the owners or whatever are selling for cheap. So it's a high and low market right now. I know I put my white voice on because I'm trying to, you know, speak to all audience.
Speak to him, bro.
We trying to get all diverse in here.
Right.
Yes, dude. All that righteous shit. When no, y'all are in the middle of the woods in Portland, Oregon.
Somewhere.
In Portland, Oregon, or somewhere in the woods with the little militias. I just call them the little clans of America. You know, because that ain't nothing but a bunch of clans work. Because all I see a bunch of rednecks drinking that Miller Lite shit with assault rifles, learning how to
shoot,
kill folks. But when we say folks, we know who we talking about here.
Folks.
Because they not out here shooting regular sandbags. They shooting brown bags out there in the woods.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, like what the fuck?
Simulation type deal.
They got dummies out there looking like Key and Peele. Shout out to the movie Antebellum. I'm just saying.
Shout out. Hey, man. Yeah, you was telling me about that movie, man. You know, I watched the... Hey, shout out to Jemele Hill. She had a little... her show, her podcast... And Janelle Monáe was on the show. Oh, bless you, man. She was on the show, and she was speaking on that show. And yeah, it sounds very interesting. It's like future and past, present.
That's how
deal.
That's how people are changing, going to the movies, right? Because Antebellum is still a movie theater box office show.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing now, yeah. Right? They're putting exactly. All type of movies on different platforms now. And you can just buy it as you're buying a ticket.
Yeah, but $20 though. Yeah, but
yeah,
obviously that's not the same experience.
So who's really benefiting off?
I don't have
IMAX. Crisis?
You know, I don't have a projector. You know, but
so who's really benefiting?
$20. I mean,
the corporations and stuff, right?
Of course, you know,
Amazon. You can buy the movie Antebellum. I'm just saying, movies that are in box offices because the corona and all this shit. Movie theaters are shut down, so the only time is to bring the movie to your house. Yeah. You know, a lot of things now are making things less convenient for everybody, to where less money, right? they printed out too much money to a point where a lot of people had to rely on different currencies, right? That's why I suggest to any of the listeners out here to get into cryptocurrency, which I'm definitely getting into as of the start of next year.
Shit about it. Like, how does it get this value? Or, you know, I don't understand it.
It's a long topic. It's a long time. I studied this. Well, because I'm going to invest next year. Okay. So basically, cryptocurrency works as to dumb it down a little bit, the bank, I guess, has false limits, as you would say, right? So they print out more than what the label was for, right? So people used to trade gold in for cash. This was the 1900s. This is how, I guess, they were breaking it down in layman's terms. So they trade in gold, they get $1,000 for cash. Now, the problem with inflation and all that, printing too much money, you devalued the dollar, right? You devalued the actual currency that we were using. You took a gold bar, you got 1,000 papers back, right? But then later on, you put a gold bar in and you got more back, and they printed more out, and it weakened the value of that gold too, because it fluctuated the market too much, right? That's why gold was cheaper back then, was low value back then. With cryptocurrency, it doesn't do that. Its data is set already. You can't print out more cryptocurrency. That's why cryptocurrency might be the currency of tomorrow, because I think for a certain amount of dollars, you can buy a certain amount of cryptocurrency, and that's actually being used.
Okay, that sounds like something that's digitized.
Yeah, it's all digitized. And there's no, and banks can't intercept it. That's the whole point of this data.
Okay, so that's convenient. So, but at the same time, why should I value crypto? I understand investing in it, and you want to take advantage of it right now before it gets big, because it has high potential of getting big. I understand the business aspect
of it. Look at Bitcoin.
But how the hell does it have value?
Well, because it's going to turn into our dollar. That's basically what cryptocurrency we might see in the future. It's going to turn into our dollar.
Okay, not what
it's
going to turn into right now. We're talking about right now, not the future.
Right now, you can still buy things with cryptocurrency.
Okay, you still not. Okay. So
there's value in it now. I understand. So
like,
your question.
What is crypto? What the hell is that? Like a digital. Certain type of?
It's basically digital currency.
Okay.
Like Akon, I understand. Shout out to Akon. Right. His city and
it's gonna be based off of cryptocurrency, the Acorn and all
you
that.
You can pay your bills, do all that.
That's really cool, man. And you know, shout out to Akon. And then a lot of people. I made a comment on social media. You know, people laughed at me, but I was like, you know, he can help out Africa a whole lot. He can encourage a lot of African Americans to go and to go back home, but right now Africa has a bad image. People look at it badly, you know, like, oh, you know, it's poor looking and tribal looking or dirty, whatever, you know, a lot of negative about
that,
you know what I'm saying?
False.
But it is false. But with the help of Akon, he can help change that perception in a big way, because that new city is going to look like Dubai. You feel what I'm saying? You would think so.
Photos
on
YouTube that you can check out how Akon City is going to look.
Right.
Y'all, let me tell you, to the listeners out there, like, this is my personal opinion, but I think West Africa and North Africa, like where Egypt is, have to be and the Congo too, like right in the middle, have to be the most beautiful parts of Africa. Like South Africa is cool and everything.
Nigeria got some nice little.
But we're talking West Africa, like Nigeria, things like that. Ghana, beautiful.
South Africa too. Shout out to South Africa. You know what I'm saying?
South Africa is cool. I think like the Aborigines, the natives, the actual tradition of what I'm talking about, Africa, in a nutshell, can be from the cultures of West Africa, North African influence, because South Africa was always, it was African, but it got conquered later on by the Dutch.
Yeah.
If you could see in West Africa, like in Senegal and a few of those other states or countries, as they call it, yes, they speak French, but they also still have their culture. You know, they still have their West African traditions. You know what I'm saying? So I feel that's my personal opinion. I feel that's
so that's a beautiful. They have been completely or enough Romanized, right? Romanized.
I feel Romanized. That part of Africa and North as well, like Egypt and stuff. I feel those are the most beautiful parts of Africa because you're getting your full heritage at that point.
But see, that comes from you with your knowledge and doing your research and then just being around people, right? And willing to listen, right? You got a lot of people that's not like that, right? You got a lot of ignorant ass people, or you just got a lot of people that just they doing them and they focus on other things. You know what I'm saying? And they just, you know, but there, you got countries where people don't mind going to, and them countries just toe up. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, I'll go to this country. I don't want to throw it out there, but yeah, you got countries out there. You know, like, why did you go to that country? You're like.
And it's are kind the of economies downfall in other countries?
But my point is, but then you scared to go to Africa, right? You scared to go to Africa, or whatever. But you willing to go to, you know?
Y'all motherfuckers is confused, right? Because y'all don't realize that Africa is a hub. It is a hub because y'all got to realize who's in Africa. We got the Chinese, we got Britain, we got. Scotland,
it's a hub because
Irish,
of the resources they got in there, and
all type
shit.
Of resources, all type, right? So, you got to understand, we got a whole bunch of cultures in one motherland, you know what I'm saying? So, when you go over there and you're like so negative to the fact, you don't understand what you're gonna be getting out of it. You're gonna be getting a diverse culture of nature, of originating. Human popularization.
Culture.
Human culture. The origins. What's originating back to mankind from all the way back. And I ain't talking about Adam.
Oh, yeah. And you talking about Eve. When you talk about language. When you talk about religion, culture. Hell, when you talk about motherfucking walking upright. I mean, I'm getting that damn technical, you know. Cooking.
Yeah,
right?
It all
cleaning.
Goes back.
It goes back to Africa, right?
And motherfuckers be like, oh, the bones was placed there, or whatever the case when archaeologists, you know, came about finding these bones and stuff, like of ancient Neanderthals and shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like, stop trying to front. We know the history, we know the origins.
Right.
It's just the Napoleon effect. Mm. And a lot of listeners, if y'all don't understand what I'm saying, know, Napoleon was the dude that was imposed by in shock because this village, this black royalty, this palaces of royals, gold and all this stuff. He was shocked.
Was he shocked or was he jealous?
He was jealous. He was imposed. He was all types of shit. This little motherfucker was 4'11", and he shot the nose of a sphinx.
Sure did.
Because what it looked like, folks?
It looked like a straight up brother. It looked like. Let me see who I can.
It looked kind of like.
Look like Idris Elba? Or it looked like Michael Jackson before surgery. I'm going to say that. It looked like Mike Jackson before surgery with that
Mike
nose
Jackson
he had.
Before and after.
I mean, he had the blackest
after,
nose.
After Napoleon shot the nose, it was Mike Jackson.
He had the blackest nose a black man can have with that nose, man. Beautiful nose, man. I got it. My nose is kind of. Big and wide, you know what I'm saying? I got pride in my nose, you know what I'm saying? My nose is a little
Michael
Jackson. Ended
up with a pig nose.
I don't know what the fuck. He ended up with no nose. You talking about just like the Eminem video, you know, the nose just kept falling off.
R.I.P. Michael. I can't say
hey, R.I.P. Much love to Mike, man. Mike is the greatest entertainer ever. I don't care what nobody say, that is the greatest entertainer ever. You watch that man's shows, you just in awe. You're like, that shit was amazing. It was an experience. Michael Jackson was a genius, and I'm still devastated by his death. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, anyway.
Michael has always been like, because I can remember cassette tapes. My grandma would put it on the player. It would be like Jackson 5's hits and just, you know, listening to I'll Be There and all type of classics that I was hearing. I was like, damn, this kid is something special. And then just growing up, and I've always been influenced by him. So love Michael, man. Rest in peace, man, to Michael. Now going back to this economic turnout, because I know of a lot of our listeners want to know, like, what are some advice you can give them as far as budgeting and really looking at the corona as a learning curve, especially for this economic.
Well, you already kind of gave them a tip, man. You know, with cryptocurrency, man, jump on board with that, man. It's emerging. And then you're looking at the economy in America, man, and look at the guy that's running the country right now. He's a complete retard. You know, no diss to people, you know, no pun intended, but he's not very bright. He's not. He makes it seem like he is, because he's a manipulator. It doesn't take Trump. It doesn't take a whole lot of intelligence for you to be manipulative. You know what I'm saying? They say that apes are very manipulative. You know what I'm saying? And not to say that apes are dumb, but come on now, their brains are a lot smaller than ours, but they're a lot bigger than us. So anyway, it don't take, that's the whole point. It don't take a whole lot to be a good manipulator or a great one. And that's exactly what Trump is, because he poses and he pretends that he's one way and he's really another. They say that man is in debt a lot. I think I saw like $300 million that he's in debt. That's because he's posing as something that he's not. He's this great businessman and he's not. They say he made more money in The Apprentice than he did with all his other business ventures at that time. He created a fake university. It was fake. He ended up getting sued. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people
I don't follow politics.
I'm just saying, this is the guy that's running the country. And he's gonna run it down to the ground. If we reelect him, or if America reelects him, or if he cheats again like he did last time, this country is just going down and down and down and down and down. Hey y'all, put all y'all differences to the side. Think. You feel what I'm saying? And y'all was hating on the brother that was running the country. You know what I'm saying? And the brother actually was, the country was progressing. It was getting back together. And then we took a fucking curveball. You know what I'm saying? Back to a changeup, if you will, back to this mess. It's actually gotten worse. You know what I'm saying? He's worse than Bush. And that's saying a lot. That's really bad. You know what I'm saying? Bush is one who got us in this damn deficit in the first place. And this guy is worse. You know, so yeah, you know what? Fuck America right now and get up on investing. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? And try to make some moves, definitely, you know.
We can't sit and wait.
Keep hearing about
wait on our hands like
nah.
That.
You know, Amazon is doing their thing, man. Amazon just took over online.
Shit, took over my boy Ray's wallet.
Online shopping.
He be getting Amazon every week.
Nah.
He's paying Jeff Bezos for this shit.
Hey, I am paying Bezos. You know, that's I would rather support, you know, something black, obviously. You know, I would rather, you know, but I'll be telling my people, like, make it more accessible. I'm not doing it because he's white. You know what I'm saying? You know, it is what it is. You know, he's white. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got nothing against white people, but my people struggling.
There's a lot of black owned podcasts out there too.
No doubt.
Black owned businesses.
What I mean is make it more accessible. Make it more convenient for us to buy it, for us to reach it, access it. That's the key point right there. And that's what I believe what Bezos was able to do.
Yeah,
because Amazon has been out for a while. But
I do find that crazy. Yeah, because going back to what you said, he made it more convenient. I don't know if Cantu is I don't know if that company is black owned still, but I know that it's hard to find in certain markets. The Cantu hair for your hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I gotta find it on Amazon. That's where I got my shit.
Yeah.
So I do get what you're saying with that. Right. Yeah,
we need a black Amazon. You know what I'm saying? There's an Asian Amazon. You know what the Asian Amazon is? What is it? You know what it is? Wish. That's the Asian Amazon.
Oh shit, that fucked me up for a second.
You know what I'm saying?
Know.
Wish, right? So they doing their thing. You know what I'm saying? And Hispanics, they don't need no damn Amazon. They just go to their local community and bam, they shopping. The Asian Americans can go to their communities and shop.
Hispanics, especially the Mexicans, right? They always got a little Disney shit on deck. Like a year after the movie came out, they got merchandise for a motherfucker. They got Princess this, Princess that, Princess Fiona, all type of shit.
Just hit up the Mexican grocery store, right?
Yeah,
they got
the
all the Disney stuff, right?
Little grocery store, like the hole in the wall.
Oh.
They got cockroaches
about, like,
fighting over each other and shit in the hallway. And every time you ask somebody for help, they look at you like they don't speak a lick of motherfucker.
Oh, man, and you know they do.
You look at you like, yo, can
you know what right. the toilet paper is?
They, huh? Yeah. Right. Hey, I got this money for you. I got $1 million for you. Oh, where's it at? Huh? Oh, now you speak English,
single,
huh?
Single,
now you speak English.
Bobby, I told you, man.
Oh man, you know, a lot of immigrants be doing that shit though, man. They play that little game. You know what I'm saying? Like
well, Chinese,
Asians be doing it.
Chinese are rude a lot of time. I love you. I love all the Chinese. I know y'all know some shit that I don't know.
That's why
I gotta say. And plus, your platters have made project babies like myself live and survive. Like those Chinese platters and all that shit. Me being from the East Coast, everybody out there know what a shrimp for five is and all that shit. But
shrimp for five.
Like I got two platters for $5. You know what I'm saying?
I want to give shout out to Asians too, man. You know, Koreans, Chinese. Look, check this out.
They bring business to the black neighborhoods.
Well, black yeah, for their own. They bring business in the black neighborhoods, not for it. But check this out. I'm glad that you spin that shit. I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? That's their shit. I ain't knocking it. But you know what? It's funny that you brought that up because I was about to bring that up, but in a different way, different point of view. I give props to them because they did set up shop and when our area was fucked up. Listen, like me, I relate to LA, right? And there was a time where LA was nicer, but this was a long time ago. This is, you know, probably in the 60s, whatever, 70s. He said, way back. Right, but they didn't give a fuck. These Asians about their money. And then this is another thing about Asians. They're not scared of black people. They'll stand up to a black person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're not going to act funny and all that or whatever. They're going to tell you how they feel. If they mad, they're going to tell you. They're not going to hide it and hold it in. And they're going to step up to you if they have to.
Society is a good example.
You know what I'm saying? Most definitely. And you setting up shop in these rough neighborhoods, you about your money. You know what I'm saying? Like, these motherfuckers ain't going to fuck with our money. You know what I'm saying? Hey. Lee, go and get that gat. You know what I'm saying? Get that shotgun for these motherfuckers.
Oh, you pay and you leave and you go.
Lee got a shotgun in the back.
I feel sorry for your mother. You pay and you go.
You punk bitch.
Right. He said, what'd you say about my mama? Lorenz Tate, man. You're one of my favorite actors in the whole wide world.
Man. That's a classic. Classic performance. Yeah, so yeah, I think Tupac was supposed to play that role, right? But
he was supposed to play the brother. Down,
he was supposed to play the pro-black brother.
The Muslim brother. Yo, what's his name?
I forget his name. Malik or something like that.
Rashid or something like that.
So I give props to, you know, I don't give props to that Asian, I believe that woman, you know, that shot that girl, which really sparked the LA riots. You know, I don't give props to that, but, you know.
They do have a lot of tension.
You know, rest in peace. But
there was a lot of racism to where Asians could be racist. I don't think they show it. Not all Asians. Mm-hmm. Most Asians could be racist. They just don't show it until it comes into that moment. When Brother Ray just stated that, or if you go back to Menace Society, you know, it was just two brothers walking in the store. They were like, hurry up and pay. You know what I'm saying? So there's always, but before we wrap it up, everybody wrap up your money, invest, be smart about things.
Be smart.
Take this as a learning curve. And be safe out there. This is Freedom of Mind. And I'm your boy, Giovanni Ray.
Ray Will. Keep listening to us, y'all.